The first person we're going to be speaking to is John Clark, who is a member of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, who also actually OCAP does a show on CKLN on Friday nights. But they're involved in a lot of other local struggles and things around the province. And we're going to be hearing a little bit about his situation and the situation of two other people who we're going to be speaking to, who are currently in detention in the Whitby Jail, stemming from an action that happened a few weeks ago. So I guess before we get right into it, welcome to the show, John.
Thanks very much, Mike.
So just let the listeners know first off that you guys are calling from prison. So if you guys, you know, bear with us if you can't hear the things that are going on. But you know, I think, John, the first thing we want to start with is just talk a little bit about why you're in jail in relation to the action that happened a few weeks ago, because not everyone out there does know about OCAP or what kind of things OCAP does. They probably saw it in the paper. They probably saw it on TV.
Yeah.
But maybe we could start out with just a little bit of information about that.
Yeah, well, the action took place at the office of James Flaherty, the Tory finance minister, and the basically what it consisted of was an eviction of the minister from his constituency office to really repay the Tories in at least small measure for the incredible number of evictions and the huge growing crisis of homelessness that exists courtesy of their government. And it was really to set the stage for an assembly that was going to be held the weekend before last in Toronto to bring together people from all over the province, from a range of communities under attack, to talk about really escalating the fight back against this government.
Right. So, what happened on the day of the action in terms of the arrest? Because there's a lot of it in the paper, and I think, you know, how many people got arrested, and what's, you know, and why, you know, you guys are still in jail from that action. Did you get arrested that day, or what?
There were some 19 people arrested, and two of us are still being held based on the fact that they'd laid previous charges against us. So we've both been detained on the basis of our being a danger to the public.
Mm-hmm.
On that basis, they intend to hold us potentially for months. Although at the moment we're both filing appeals and hope to have them heard sometime next week. We're not exactly sure when.
Right. So there. You know, if I understand correctly, your last bail appeal was on Friday.
On the Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And you know, there was two of us there. Another brother in OCAP was able to get out, but mine was turned down, and Sean was also turned down a couple of days before that. So that's their intention, is to keep us here for as long as they can.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I think a lot of when I'm looking at the bail conditions that they're setting for people, and this is a lot of the arrests have been happening around this action. The word repression comes to mind, and the way they've really attacked OCAP.
Yeah, I mean, I think it needs to be said that there's no question that the arrests and the detention and the bail conditions that they're seeking to impose of non-association with other OCAP members, is part of a concerted effort to try and shut us down. Quite predictably, it's having the opposite effect. Particularly since the detention orders have been issued, the outpouring of support that's been coming into our organisation has been enormous.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, nobody welcomes spending time in Whitby Jail. It's set up to not make you want to be here, but at the same time, our spirits are very strong and we feel very confident, and we're enormously confident that the whole movement against the Harris government is going to rise up to the point where it doesn't just protest what this government does, but constitutes a challenge that can actually stop them implementing their agenda that is literally killing people and causing enormous suffering.
Mm-hmm. Now, that kind of seems like a good time right now. Maybe if we could just interject a little bit of information about the fall campaign and about the work that OCAP does here in Toronto, so that the people out there who aren't aware of OCAP know a little bit more beyond just the action that we were referring to, but beyond that, what type of things OCAP is involved with. Because I think it's important too to understand that, you know, with the positive work that you guys are doing and how that relates to the repression that this government and the police forces are putting on to you guys.
Yeah, well, OCAP is, as anyone who knows about our work would be aware, is actually a very much a grassroots poor people's organisation, and we fight the issues that poor people face on the broad level, and we also do a huge amount of representing people before immigration, welfare, landlords, employers, whatever else. And the point, however, has been that over the last number of years we've been carrying on this work, but we've been aware of the fact that simply, you know, trying to hold the line on the effects of the Harris agenda is not enough. That's what's required is a movement that involves not just poor people, but trade unionists and First Nations communities. People under attack everywhere have got to unite and actually try to fashion a method of struggle that can not just protest the government but stop them. And on that basis, we've called for a campaign based on economic disruption, workplace and community-based economic disruption that can make this government really a cost-ineffective proposition in the eyes of the corporations that that back them. Mm-hmm. And October 16th has been targeted as the starting date for this campaign, and organisations are throughout the province are now signing on to this campaign, and we think it's going to represent an enormous leap forward in the struggle. And I sort of suspect that the authorities feel the same way, which in large measure accounts for why they're coming down on us with so much ferocity at the moment.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me, too, the kind of support that you guys have been getting as well. I remember I went to the June 15th assembly that you guys held a few weeks ago, and just to see the number of people from different sectors of the population and the kind of support you're also getting from unions, especially CUPE, is really interesting to me.
Yeah, there's no question. That really and truly, I think the whole sort of series of struggles that we've taken up and our real preoccupation with trying to get beyond protest in that sense and really embrace a politics of real resistance, of fighting to win, has really increasingly struck a chord. You know, I mean, we don't have any delusions of grandeur that we ourselves are anything like powerful enough to stop the Harris government. But what we've, I think, put forward is a perspective and an outlook that other people are taking up, particularly trade unions at the moment. That if adopted can really change the name of the game. Mm-hmm. and really create a situation where this government is no longer going to be able to get away with what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. I know there's other people we want to talk to today too. But I do want to ask you one more question maybe before we switch off. What's it like for yourself personally being held in the prison right now? How do you feel about it, and what relationship do you see yourself having with the other inmates?
Right. Well, there's been huge support for OCAP in here. There's absolutely no question on this range, and wherever we've had contact with other prisoners, we've been treated with every kind of kindness and consideration, and you know, the solidarity and the feeling of solidarity in here is enormous. And I must say, probably the majority of guards that we've dealt with have generally been sympathetic and helpful in their outlook, and have expressed to us a sense of hatred for the provincial government. This place is basically a warehouse for poor people. You live on a little range, you're crammed into little cells 12 hours out of every 24, and the conditions are appalling. So in that sense it's unpleasant, but it's also in a certain sense a school for people who are serious about fighting back. And it's really an experience that people who want to challenge the agenda that's being hatched in Quebec City and coming out of Queen's Park are perhaps going to have to get used to these kinds of conditions, because there's no question that if you're going to challenge the agenda that's being thrown against us, then we're going to have to be prepared to pay a price and to take up a struggle.
I understand we're going to actually be speaking to one of the inmates who you guys have met during your stay in there.
Yes, that's right. He's actually just been... here he comes. He's on his way over the phone now. He may not want to identify his name, but he's certainly a wealth of information.
One more thing. Okay, well, before he comes on, one more thing I want to ask you. How many days have you been held?
This is day number 18.
Day number 18? All right. And is he... he's about ready?
Yep, here he comes. Just one second. Right. I'll hand you over to him now.
All right. And once again, that's John Clark from the Ontario
Coast. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Not bad. I guess one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and one of the things that that John and them mentioned to me, is that you want to talk a little bit about the conditions that are prisoners are facing right now within the prison system. I think it's important, because a lot of people out here, really aren't aware of what's actually going on inside the institutions
and how dirty stuff is, you know.
Yeah, they have a mentality. Yeah, I've heard it myself before that people say, oh well, prisoners have it great and blah blah blah, but they're not really aware of what people who are being held by the state really are facing. I mean, could you make us aware of some of the stuff that's going on?
Well, yeah, I could say there's you know, very overcrowded, right? There's usually 3 or 4 to a cell. Okay, very unlivable sinks. It's very unlivable. It's got sinks, toilets, walls, etc., coated in bodily functions. You know what I mean? Bodily discharges.
Right.
And there's no running water in some of the cells. There's limited cleaning supplies, right? Living quarters in the range are so cramped and very dirty. You know, some of the TVs don't work. You know what I mean? It's just like it's run down, you know? It's just run down. And overcrowding gives problems and tensions, you know, etc., stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the overcrowding situation starts off by, I guess, the weekenders come in on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they move about 26 guys upstairs to a range that only holds five, you know, there's 5 cells.
Right.
2 to a cell, but they're putting 28 guys in it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So if you do the math, that's 5 people per cell.
Yeah, there's practically 5 people per cell. There's only 5 cells, 2 bunks to a cell, and they got 28 guys going upstairs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Moving us for the weekenders to come in,
mm-hmm.
right? And the non-smoking and stuff like that, and we won't get into that, but it's, you know, non-smoking ban opens up the black, you know, the doors to the black market,
mm-hmm.
right? And compared to $8 bail on the street of tobacco,
mm-hmm.
black market now, if you bring in a bail, it's worth $250 in here.
Right.
And plus, they don't give us, you know, support or anything for the non-smoking, like, you know, popcorn, gum, stuff like that. You know, people that just come off the road,
yeah.
they've been in for 8 months, and they, you know, can't smoke, can't stop smoking, they're going through withdrawals or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's no support or substitute for it, right? Now, there's no recreation. There's, you know, if we get yard maybe two to three times a week, 20 to 30 minutes if we're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, medication sleepers, you know, they give you sleepers for medication.
Mm-hmm.
They come around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're asleep by 6.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just irregular hours that they should be doing this. And officers are very rude and disrespectful, even though they know that you're not guilty of any crime, you're not proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's just, it's unreal in here. Like, you just can't scrub enough to get how dirty this place is.
Mm-hmm.
And the tension going through people's heads, you know, having to sleep by somebody's, you know, bodily discharge, and not being able to clean it, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Just kind of gets to a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry about that.
No, then it's important. I think people out here need to be aware of what's going on.
It's really all, you know, like, mm-hmm. it's not very organized,
mm-hmm.
you know. There's no pencils, there's no paper you can get to write, there's no request forms. You know, if you lose your toothbrush, you don't get another one. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of have to hand your toothbrush in.
Yeah.
So,
how's the relationship you guys, a lot, that you've seen in some of the prisoners?
Pardon me?
What's the relationship you've seen between some of the prisoners that you've in there and John and Sean who have recently come in?
Well, how's the relationship?
Yeah.
The relationship between you guys from the OCAT there,
mm-hmm.
great, they've been polite, you know, I've never met a better person than John and Sean, you know, staff of, they know about their little thing on the outside, it's just disrespect,
mm-hmm.
show disrespect, but if you look deep down on these guys, you know, these guys shouldn't even be in here, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're just too good of people in the heart. You know, they give the shirts off their backs, and I don't know, I've been in for 12 months already, and I don't know anybody that would do that for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, things that these guys done, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'd do anything for these guys, and I've only known them probably, you know, a month,
right.
and that's what doesn't get me. I think there's something wrong in this picture, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so.
Well, I'm sure a lot of the people in there shouldn't be in there as well.
Pardon me?
I'm sure a lot of the other people in there, too, shouldn't be in there.
Oh, yeah, like, this is my first time being charged with a crime,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I got denied bail, and I've been in 12 months, and I'm still going for bail,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, I should be, you know, liable for a speedy trial or a speedy bail hearing, but that just, you know, gets left.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people in here on petty things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's unbelievable. We have the lowest conviction rate in all of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Gotta
do something about it.
When everyone out there thinks that, oh, well, everyone in jail is violent criminals and all this kind of thing, but like you said yourself, a lot of people in there are in there for small things and petty things. And
yeah, like, we're on a range 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's it's not a beginner range, but it's a mellow range.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's an argument or a fight, they talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like these guys aren't in here for a fight and stuff like that. But these guards treat us like we're, you know, we're criminals, and we're still in detention. We're not proven guilty yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just it's not the way it should be.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you want to let the listeners out here know? Because there's quite a number of people listening right now. Is there anything you want to say?
Well, I'd just like to say, if you ever decide to come to jail or do some crime, be expected to pay for it very, very well. Like I've lost my company, my daughter's first steps. I've lost everything over, low evidence and not in control, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The court systems are all gone, the jail thing's all gone. You can't live, it's too dirty in here. You get clothing changed once a week. Just don't ever come here because you're never getting out. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. It's just wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
So what about your dealings with the judicial system itself? And like you're saying, there's a lot of people in there who just aren't getting bail and they shouldn't be in there.
Well, yeah, you got first-time offenders,
right.
such as myself, you know, going up for bail hearing, getting denied,
mm-hmm.
and not being able to go up to court for another bail hearing for another 6 to 8 months,
mm-hmm.
and then getting something, you know, messed up there, courts, I guess, slacking off or whatever, lawyers aren't ready. And someone having to sit in jail for, 10 to 11 months on something low as theft, theft mm-hmm. of a candy bar or something, or a common assault,
mm-hmm.
or like a marriage dispute,
mm-hmm.
something like that, sitting in 10 months for that when he should be out on the road with his business and making money for his family. They're slacking, they sit back and they watch things go.
Mm-hmm.
And it messes people's lives up, but a big,
mm-hmm.
people's lives get messed up all the time. Just from petty stuff like that, so
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The judicial system is, I'd say it's very corrupt. You got me on that one. Very corrupt.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to let the listeners out there know? I don't know if what your relationship's going to be with John and Sean and OCAP in the future.
Well,
but
I personally plan on my farm release.
Uh-huh.
I'm going for everything these guys are. But I haven't been able to voice my opinion or strongly had someone to actually, think the same things I do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these guys come in here, and I see them working every night, doing their thing, and I'm always talking with them, and we always agree on the same thing, It's the same thing that happens. So upon my release, I'm hoping to get hooked up with John and Sean there and become an OCAP, member, so I can represent with these guys. Because these guys are for real, OCAP's for real, and I feel strongly about what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and they're only trying to do right. I don't know why they're even in here,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, I wanna thank you for coming on the air tonight.
Hey, thank you very much.
Stay strong. I hope everything works out for you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, is it Sean?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? Okay, so just to let the listeners know, now we're speaking to Sean Lee Poppin, who is also an OCAP member who is facing charges from the Whitby action. So I guess, Sean, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you guys about is the relationships. And it's kind of interesting because we just got to hear from one of the inmates. But talk about, from your perspective, how you think the relationship that you guys have been having with the inmates has been since going in.
We've really gotten no slack at all from people. The people inside have been hugely supportive ever since we came in. The same day we came in, there was a riot here at Whitby Jail over conditions and over the smoking ban.
Mm-hmm.
And people, once you tell them what you did, what we were doing, how there's over 2,000 people being evicted every month in Toronto, and what choice do people have but to start evicting the rulers from their offices or from their workplaces. People understand that people in here over and over have been told, oh, there's two systems of justice in this province. There's a system for the rich and there's a system for the poor. people know they're in here because they're poor. They can't afford to get bail. They can't afford lawyers. Their family or spouses can't afford to take time off day in, day after again to come to court and bail them out. Mm-hmm. So we've gotten a lot of support. Even some of the guards have been actually pretty, in their own quiet ways, pretty supportive.
I mean, can you talk a little about that? Because that's interesting to me. That the one question I had was how do the guards relate to you guys in terms of the way that they treat you and everything else?
Yeah. There's definitely some guards. I've had guards who I was asking them a question, and they said, oh, what are you in for anyways? And they said, oh, that incident up at Flaherty's office. And they'd sort of give me a little smile, and they'd say, oh, when we were on strike back in 96 mm-hmm. with OPSU, oh, Flaherty, this is what he did to us, or... We had one guard who actually made a request. He said, oh, all I got to say is what you guys did, I just got one problem with that. And I was like, oh no, here goes. He's going to give me a long speech. And he's like, well, next time, could you do Samson's office, who's the Minister of Corrections?
Yeah.
So people, I think there's some guards who are definitely, who aren't on our side, but there's lots who are quite supportive in their own. Flip your news or ask you if you saw Harris on the Walkerton Inquiry. And
right.
Talk about how they lost the recent by-election and how they think they're going to lose the upcoming election. And they're pretty. There's definitely people who aren't. Some of the guards aren't, but a lot of them are pretty supportive.
Another thing, we spoke to John a little bit, but I wanted to hear also about your legal situation, just so the listeners know. Because John went up for a bail hearing, I think, last Thursday. So what kind of things are you facing, and why are they trying to hold you, and when's your next bail review?
I was denied, or DO'd, or denied, had a detaining order put out on me on last Wednesday, which was the 28th. So now my next court date is July 18th.
Right.
And hopefully we'll start getting the wheels going for a bail review, which would take 2 to 3 weeks. If I don't get, at this point, my June, I have charges stemming from June 15th as well, and my bail for that was revoked. So at this point, if I don't get a bail review, it's possible for me to be in until trial for June 15th, which would be January, February 2002.
Right.
But it looks, from what happened with Omid Zarian and A.J. Withers last week at their bail hearing, so we have a good chance under the bail review. So it's sort of it's a sit back and wait process right now.
So for all the listeners out here who are listening right now, what kind of things can they do to not only give support for you guys, but also support OCAP as an organization?
Yeah, I think for me, the best thing that people can do to support me is me knowing that there's a movement out there, and there's a person out there that people are out there continuing to organize, continuing to build a movement that will replace this government. That's the best form of support that we can get, so people continuing to do the work that they're doing in their communities. There are obviously costs associated with that, with our legal defense and getting bail and stuff, so if there's anybody who wants to kick down for that, we'd appreciate it, and they can do that by getting in touch with OCAP. And I suppose I could plug the number now.
Yeah, go ahead, just give the number. I'm going to give it again at the end, but...
Okay, at 416-925-6939.
Right. What has your experience been like being in prison, like, and how do you feel about it, you know, in relation to the action that happened and everything else, and what you're facing right now?
I'd obviously rather not be in prison. I'd rather be outside. I'd rather have the choice, the power to be able to control my own life instead of in here where you really don't. But I think as activists, we have to face the reality that one of the things that may be facing us is jail time. And being in here, it's been that much more clear to me that freedom in our world is a relative thing, and people are denied freedom every day. And sure, for me, right now, the way that my freedom's denied is very clear. But every day people are denied freedom, whether it's they can't afford to go where they want, if it's because of lack of government action on accessibility issues, people can't get where they need to go, if it's because of racially profiled policing, people's freedom is limited. If it's because the kind of schools that your neighborhood forces you into aren't going to lead to university education, people's freedoms are denied. So obviously I want to get out, but for me, it's part of what you have to face, I suppose.
Is there any words that you guys want to leave the listeners with before we go, and I'll also let John know if there's anything else he wants to say before we go.
Really, just to be aware of what the situations in the prisons are. Mm-hmm. Since I've been in here, there's been the riot here at Whitby. There's been a hunger strike and a riot at Maplehurst in Peterborough,
right.
And there was a hostage taken up at Fort Francis, which is a jail near Thunder Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's three prisons that are going up in less than 2 weeks, basically over the smoking ban.
Mm-hmm.
So that people need to be supporting all prisoners, because all prisoners in lots of ways are political prisoners.
Right.
And that if people want to support us, the most important thing that they can do is to remain committed and to work in communities and organize resistance to the government.
All right.
And they can send letters if they want to the Whitby jail.
Where if they want it? Do you know the address if they want to do that?
It's Whitby Jail, 200 Victoria Street West, Whitby, Ontario. I will get the postal code. I'll let John give some closing remarks, and I'll grab the postal code.
All right, cool.
Hello?
Hey, John. Sean's just going to get the correct address so people want to send letters to you guys. But while he's doing that, I just want to say give you the opportunity if there's any last words you want to leave the listeners with before we go for today.
Well, I think maybe just to repeat the point I was making earlier, Mike, which is that... on the face of it, they've got us locked up in here, and they may appear to be operating from a position of strength, but it seems to me the exact opposite, that the whole thing is growing, that as they try and hit us in this kind of way, they just increase the mood of resistance that's out there, and we just feel enormously buoyed up and anxious to get back on the streets as soon as we can, but ready to stay in here as long as we have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that address as well.
Okay, so you want to give that
which is Whitby Jail,
mm-hmm.
300 Victoria Street West, Whitby, Ontario, L1N6T3.
All right, and if they say put your names, if they address to the names, they can send you go get to you guys?
Just put it to the names and that'll be fine. John Clark, Sean Lee, Popham.
All right, great. Okay, I just want to thank you guys definitely for being on the air tonight, and let our friend who came on a little bit earlier too, let him know that I said thank you very much. And
Tony will. Thanks to everybody there, and solidarity to everyone listening.
All right, great. And we'll keep, we'll definitely, hopefully if we can do this again, that'd be great.
Be happy to.
All right, thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, once again, before we go to a quick break, I just want to let all the listeners know again, we're speaking to John Clark and Sean Lee Poppin, as well as another inmate who are all currently being held in Whitby Jail. And Sean and John are both members of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. And if you want to get in touch, I'll drop those addresses and numbers again. To contact the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty here in Toronto, there's two numbers you can call, 416-925-6939 in the east and 416-530-1550 in the west. And then there's also over email, you can email them OCAP@DAO.ca. And again, that address for Whitby Jail is 300 Victoria Street West, Whitby, Ontario, L1N6T3.